Welcome to Comadres y Comics.
Comadres y Comics is a podcast hosted by three Latina women.
We highlight the Latinx presence in the comic book industry as creators, characters, and fans.
Join us as we talk chisme, comics, fandom, and beer. Hello and welcome to a new episode of Comadres y Comics. This is episode 207, where your hosts, I'm Sarah.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Jen.
Welcome back, ladies. How are you guys doing?
Hello.
Hi.
I am doing well, except for the fact that I'm eating my feelings this month, and I went out today and had an entire Mexican food appetizer platter to myself, plus a side of rice.
Ooh, not the rice.
With a Modelo.
Ooh,
and then at the end, I did finish a whole basket of chips by myself. And then at the end, I ordered flan and I ate it all.
Damn, girl.
Not fast food therapy.
Yes. So.
Oh, my God.
So that was today. Today's Thursday. Yesterday, what did I eat? I feel like I ate something yesterday, too. Tuesday. Oh, my God. Tuesday, I went to Islands because I was craving an Islands hamburger, but I did harm reduction and I got a veggie patty and no fries, side salad. So I'm there. I'm drinking their Mango Rita, which was so freaking good. If you guys have an Islands near you, it's the like frozen margarita, but mango flavor. So good. So sweet. I'm sure that if those of you who don't have diabetes, you'll have it after you drink it, but it's so good. But there was this woman that was sitting next to me and she just starts talking to me. Then she starts buying me drinks. Then she starts buying me food and she made sure to tell me she wasn't a lesbian.
I was just going to say, were you getting hit on?
And even if she was, that's kind of
I told her my love language is food. So it was actually a nice night. I was there like at 3 o'clock in the 3 o'clock, 2 or 3 in the afternoon. I didn't come home till 8:30.
And you were sloshed.
Oh, nice.
That's pretty good.
That's awesome.
You see, I have moved on from food, like fast food therapy, to retail therapy. So I was like, I'm gonna do a little shopping. And that's what I'm trying not to spend because I'm going to be in Los Angeles for March, mostly for my mom's birthday. But also because January is a liminal space. And I was just like, you know what? This is making me feel bad enough that I need to go home to LA. And then once I'm home, I'll be fixed and I'll be fine when I come back here. Yeah. But I did some shopping at Ross, and I always forget how much, like, you have to look hard for it, but Ross does have cute stuff.
Yes, to look hard.
Mm-hmm. I bought this, oh my God, I bought these, like, high, like, platform shoes, like, with, like, a high heel, but they're, like, really comfy, so it was just like, ooh, okay, and then there was this, like, mixed material dress, so it was sheer right here, and then like right here around the chest boob area there was like black knit, and then it was mesh around the tummy, and then it fell down into a full skirt, and I was just I'm getting this. And then there was this really cute looking goth bag as well. I got a whole outfit. Was so happy. Yeah,
that's cool. Well, I used to go to Target the day after Christmas, but last year, my mom and I just happened to find ourselves in TJ Maxx the day after Christmas, and everything Christmas related is 50% off, and that includes like clothes. I got pajama sets for half off. I got baking dishware and all that kind of stuff. So anyhow, my point being that we went to TJ Maxx this year too again, and found so many cool things. But exactly to your point, it really takes work, because It's almost like going to a thrift store where nothing is where it's supposed to be. And yes. You have to go through all the sizes. You can't just look in your size because people come and move things around. Yeah. So it is a lot of work, but I found a lot of really good stuff at TJ Maxx. I haven't been to Ross in a while, but yeah. And my best friend, she hates going to those places for that reason. She says it gives her anxiety because it's all so disheveled.
Oh yeah. That's why I love going. I like looking through it. And it's because I have such a specific like aesthetic that I try to maintain. For me, it's pretty easy like looking through stuff because I can tell just by color.
Like, yep. Absolutely.
Oh, I'll never wear that. Yeah. So I always look for black.
Mm-hmm.
Two, I always look also for material. If it's like kind of vinyl-y that doesn't have a lot of give. If it's not in the like 1X or 2X area, I don't get it.
Yeah.
If it's used like kind of like chiffon or lace stuff like that or spandexy, then I'm like, all right, we'll see how cute this is. And that really cuts down on the amount of time I spend in through the racks. Shoe size is also pretty easy for me, mostly because I have a very big shoe size.
Yeah.
And not a lot of people go looking through mm-hmm. that area, so it's never really messed up. There, I usually do find smaller shoes, but usually all the like shoes my size are in the area that they're supposed to be. Nice. And again, just look for black. Easy. Well, shopping made easy.
I'm very, very also pleasantly surprised at all the cool deals you always find, Sarah, when you go to Nordstrom Rack.
Right.
Oh my god, I love Nordstrom Rack. It's like my favorite. I actually haven't gone there recently because during the pandemic I didn't use very much lipstick, and that's what I usually get at Nordstrom Rack.
Right. Yeah.
So what I've been doing is I'm using lipstick as a moisturizer for my lips. Mm-hmm. So yep. I'm always using lipstick because I've had them open for like over a year.
Same.
So now I'm just using lipstick as like chapstick.
Yeah.
I've actually gone through four lipsticks already, and I'm working on the rest of them.
Wow. Yes, okay. That's a
really good idea. Okay.
Yeah. My mom is doing that too. And yes, I did not use any lipstick during the pandemic, but did that stop me from buying it? No.
Right.
I bought so much lipstick during 2020 through 2022. And I have big Ziploc bags just full of lipstick and gloss and lip liner and all kinds of stuff in my closet that do I go and use it? No, I go buy new stuff. I went the other day to Sephora and I don't even know what I was in Sephora for. I think I was waiting for my mom to come in on the train. And so I was at Hollywood and Highland. And I was in Sephora and I bought two lip glosses. Did I need two lip glosses? No, I don't. But I am so addicted to buying lipstick.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%. I actually, Frank was sick and I went in to get him NyQuil into a CVS on my way to go pick up work. And I go in there and I just kind of breeze through the like discount Christmas section. And I saw these 3 foot tall nutcrackers. And I was like, if they're like really good price, I'll take them. So I went to the register and I said, how much are these? There's no price marked. And he's like, oh, they're $20. I'm like, oh, never mind. And he's like, what if I give them to you for $11? Will you take both of them? And I'm like, hell yeah. So for our wedding anniversary, I got Frank 2 3-foot nutcrackers.
That's hilarious.
Because he actually loves nutcrackers because when he was growing up, he had one nutcracker for his entire youth of Christmas. So he's like always seen that as Christmas oriented.
Mm-hmm.
So,
So
1 year I bought him like a small like 99-cent nutcracker. And so now that I saw these big ones, I was like, oh, he's going to love them. And yeah, they went right beside the tree. Like we had the tree up until like 5 days ago. So I put him beside the tree and they look amazing. I love them. So
that's cool.
Yeah. So
that is really cool.
$11 a nutcracker and they're 3 feet. I mean, they're as tall as I am almost.
Yeah.
So it's like,
can you just imagine you carrying these nutcrackers out of the store?
The guy's like, do you need help? And I go, no, I can do it. And I'm like carrying them all, like, oh. And then this lady, she was like, have you guys ever seen such happiness? I was thrilled with these nutcrackers. It's so cool. But yeah, I totally agree. Just you have to look and you have to ask. Like, I guess they didn't want to put them back in storage. They just wanted to get rid of them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or like the thing is, or they have to like throw them away or like get rid of them. That's mostly.
Yeah, it's shocking. I see on TikTok the people that go like dumpster diving and they see a lot of like brand new stuff from stores that they throw away. It's just crazy to me. It's nuts.
Oh my God, random segue, but this got sent to me as a like, as a TikTok of this girl just laying down on like a dumpster, like a, not a dumpster, a dump truck worth of Hot Cheetos. She was laying on top of it, and this is, it's like she was like high, like she was ecstatic. She was just like rolling around in it. I don't even know where like this is, where she found this dumpster load, or where she's like she seen it, or like IDK where it is. But then in like the caption was just a, like, don't you wish that was you? And honestly, I kind of did.
Were they out of package?
No, they were in still package.
Because I just like picture her rolling around with the hot Cheeto dust in her eyes and in her nose.
That's what I thought. I honestly thought that. I was like, oh my God, no, she's going to need a shower.
They were sealed bags of Hot Cheetos. And I don't know if they had gone bad or something, or if it was like, well, I do know, like, because of, like, me and my parents would go to like shipment places and stuff like that, was that if a delivery truck or something didn't make their thing on time, or let's say that the product expired en route, they just have to throw it at the end of like their route and stuff like that. So I'm wondering if that's what happened.
Yeah, and like, sometimes it could even just be as nominal as a misprint on the bag. You see a lot of that kind of stuff though, like at grocery outlet and like 99 cents, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But sometimes too, depending on what it is and depending on the Food Administration rules, they have to just get rid of it and lose that money.
Yep.
Oh yeah. They do. I was at a Dollar Tree, and this lady was like, she wanted to buy like a soft drink, and she told the register lady. She said, "Hey, is this right? Is expiring in 2 days?" She goes, "Yes, but if you still want it, I'll give it to you for like 50 cents." She's like, "Never mind, I don't want it." Like, okay,
It's expiring in two days. It's just a suggested date.
I just tell myself, what if it was the zombie apocalypse? I would not care that it was expiring in 2 days. I probably wouldn't care that it expired 2 years ago. I would just eat it.
I'm just all like, how many times have I pulled something out of the fridge and just not looked at the expiration date? Because I was just like, I've had this in here for a while.
Oh, you know what?
If I die, I die.
I went to go use mustard yesterday, and I'm like, when did I buy this? The expiration was April 2022.
Oh my God.
Hey, still like that. It's still good. Still tastes the same. Anyways, this has been Shopping Ticks and Tricks and Dumpster Hacks on Comadres y Comics.
All right, guys, now it's time for Chisme de la Semana. And our chisme today is QCon, everyone. We have been invited back to QCon. That is taking place June 15th. I know, June 15th, far away, but we're just excited that we're back, invited back to QCon. And QCon takes place at 1166 North Vista Street in WeHo, California. For those of you who don't know what WeHo is, it's West Hollywood, California. This event takes place from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Parking is free. The event is free and it's fun for the whole family. And I have only been to one previous QCon and it was just an amazing time. I can't wait to go. I bought these new earrings. They're thunderbolts with rainbow rhinestones. I can't wait to wear them. And I'm just so excited. Who throws this event, Kristen?
So this QCon event is curated and put together by the Prism. They're not a publishing company. They're kind of like a not a warehouse. What would you call them? They are a nonprofit organization. Curators. Yeah, that's a good description. They are a nonprofit organization that specifically focuses on providing access to queer comics, either creators or stories. And they are really amazing. They have a huge presence at San Diego Comic-Con, most local Comic-Cons here in Los Angeles. They are local here to LA. And they put this on for the first time 2 years ago in 2022. So that was the first QCon. And this year will be their third. And they're really excited to announce that they're actually expanding this year. They are going to expand to include the largest room in the community center, plus their panel room, which they initiated last year. So last year was the very first year that they had introduced panels to QCon, and it was a huge success. I was on a panel that was very, very well attended, and I think that they really got a lot of good feedback from all of the attendees that they wanted more of that kind of thing there. So they're not only going to continue to have the panel room, but when it says that they are expanding to the biggest room in the community center, that to me sounds like they are expanding to provide more space for more exhibitors. So I think that's amazing. They're going to actually also going to be premiering a podcast, a weekly podcast that's going to promote the event with creator interviews. So the podcast is going to be hosted by Julian Shai. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that last name right, so apologies. It's C-H-A-I-X. And it's going to be produced by Julian and Chris Riley. So that is very, very super cheesemay, because that is just announced yesterday, and they don't even really have the date or anything like that of when that's going to start, but are definitely telling people to keep an eye out for that podcast.
That's so cool. I can't wait to hear that podcast. And don't forget to follow QCon event information on Instagram at QCON Prism. That's Q C-O-N as in Nancy, Prism, P-R-I-S-M, on Instagram. Ladies and gentlemen, on my radar. Kristen, what is on your radar?
So on my radar is Katrina's Caravan. I don't know if you have seen that Hector Gonzalez. Wait, what's his full name? Hector Rodriguez Gonzalez? Is that
The third.
Hector Gonzalez Rodriguez. I turned it around. Hector Gonzalez Rodriguez the third, who is the is he the owner? Is he the, what is his actual title? I don't know, but he is the creator of El Peso Hero.
El Peso Hero.
Okay.
Yes.
And he also is one of the founders, co-founders of Chispa Comics, that is sponsored by Scout. But he announced this week that there is going to be a Katrina's Caravan graphic novel coming in the fall. So again, we're sharing dates and events that are sound like they're kind of far out, but I don't know if you know, but January is almost over, so it's flying by fast, and so you guys all need to start scheduling your schedules so that you can make sure that you get this book and you are able to go to QCon. But Katrina's Caravan was written by Hector, and the artist is Guillermo Villarreal, it is Katrina's Caravan, Night of La Lechuza. The mysterious figure of Doña Katrina sweeps into a small town with her traveling carnival and tells a gathered crowd a dark tale. A father and son are captured by a group of militiamen who use terror to patrol the border, quote unquote patrol. At their darkest moment, the refugees find a fierce ally, but can they truly trust a monster once it has killed the other monsters? So I do remember reading the first issue of this book, and I did enjoy it. I did like it. I was never able to continue reading because, you know, there's just tons of books that come out every week. But this is your opportunity to get the entire miniseries in one spot. And it just was announced that it will be released in the fall.
That sounds amazing. Also, if you want to learn more about more Chispa comic titles, you can go to their website at chispacomics.com. That's chispacomics.com. Chispacomics.com. Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, everybody out there, they, them, he, she, it is time. It is time for La Hora de la Cervecita. I am so excited. I know. This is going to be like one of those like drinks that is like holiday based. It is. We are drinking today Brew Dog. It's a Butte pecan and toffee stout. And it says, we've teamed up with National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation to bring you. It's a Butte pecan and toffee stout at 7.5%. This rich and decadent stout combines sweet toffee flavors, roasted cacao, and hints of vanilla. It may not be the gift that keeps on giving. It may not be the gift that keeps on giving the whole year, but we can guarantee that your six pack won't arrive meowing. Cheers. I've never seen the National Lampoon. I don't know, but it must be something about the National Lampoon's Vacation Christmas thing. There's like a RV on it, and then there's like a gentleman dressed as Santa Claus that looks like he's being electrocuted. I've never seen this movie before.
I saw it, but many decades ago. I vaguely remember it. I remember more the National Lampoon original Vacation, where they're going to Wally World, and the grandma dies. They put her on the roof, all that story.
Okay.
But for Christmas Vacation, I have seen it, but it was so long ago, I don't remember what that reference is to. So now I feel like I gotta watch it.
Wow.
You know, I've Amazing. Never seen any National Lampoon stuff at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I definitely was a big 80s Chevy Chase.
That's why fan. I don't like Chevy Chase.
Okay.
Well, anyway, I just opened my can. I could definitely smell the toffee.
Me too, and the pecan. Oh, makes me want pecan ice cream.
Oh, yes.
I bet you this poured over vanilla would be good.
Ooh, I love how it smells.
I'm very surprised. I'm very pleasantly surprised. Ooh. Yes.
You know, that is giving Sticky Monkey.
It is, without the real heavy alcohol content. Yep.
It's not as thick and syrupy as Sticky Monkey.
Mm-hmm.
Very light, but the flavor is similar.
Yes, agreed. It's so really good, actually. I'm really impressed. I saw the can art and I was like, this is kind of going to suck, I feel. You know, it's just so, I don't know, so...
So loud.
Yeah, so loud. So not refined. It's sort of como bien naco.
It's on theme with National Lampoon.
I think it's very National Lampoon-y. It's like when I saw it at first and I like didn't see it, I was just like, is this like an Elf callback?
I started watching that movie too during the holiday season.
Oh, yes.
I hadn't seen it in a long time.
So I don't know. Okay, so I'm just going to go right into it. The flavors are really amazing. I do feel like it coats my tongue with kind of a more of a chocolatey feel. I do taste all the flavor notes in it, and it's very smooth, which I really like. And it's not like sticky. It's giving Sticky Monkey vibes, like you said, Kristen, but it's not like heavy on the alcohol content or like the even the butteriness
it
of it.
It's too heavy on the alcohol content. It's a 7.5.
It's 7.5, not.
Yeah, but not like Sticky Monkey where it just like blasts you with it.
Yeah.
But you know, I gotta say, for the can art to be the way it is, this to me tastes like a very elegant beverage. What do you guys think?
So I'm still reeling from the fact that you said you're not a Chevy Chase fan.
I'm sorry.
And I think purely based on the fact that the original National Lampoon movie is a John Hughes movie, I think it is your national and generational duty as a Gen X to watch this movie.
Okay, damn, I'm going to do it out. For you guys. I'm going to do it for you guys. I'm going to find out where to watch it, and I'm going to watch it. But you're right. I didn't even know who made the movie, but still, like, okay. I mean, I watched Nerds, so I might as well watch this movie.
So, but to the beer, yes, the flavor is super, super yummy. I taste the toffee. I taste the pecan. I do taste a little bit of chocolate, the cacao that is in here. I really, like I said, liken it to the Sticky Monkey. Not the same consistency, not the same mouthfeel. I don't even remember how much Sticky Monkey is as far as ABV, but...
it was like an 18-something.
18?
Or 16.
Is that legal?
Hold on. Maybe I'm remembering wrong. I'm remembering wine.
But I really like this a lot. And I'm just sad that it was seasonal because obviously it's a Christmas beer. And I definitely will keep my eye out to see if they do something similar next year. And BrewDog, where's BrewDog located? Brewed in Ohio? That's what it says.
Ohio. Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm. 11.4.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, I have here 12.3. So maybe it's different for every like
different
that.
Years. Yeah.
Different years, different ones. Yeah. The one that was in this one's the 2020. That was 11.4.
Wow.
I know, right? Ugh. When will I get another one in my hands? We just don't know.
Well, I promise you when you come to LA and we decide to hang out, I'll have a bottle of Sticky Monkey waiting for us.
I'll kiss you on the mouth.
I will accept that as payment. Yes, I haven't kissed a girl in a while, so yes, let's do that.
Hey,
all right, so are we ready to rate it? So
absolutely.
Yep. What's our rating scale? On a rating scale of 1 to 5, where 1 is very unsatisfied, a 2 is unsatisfied, a 3 out of 5 is neutral, a 4 out of 5 is satisfied, and a 5 out of 5 is very satisfied. And if it is a very, very, very yummy one that goes off the charts, that is a Super Saiyan. So I'll go ahead and start. This is Kristen. I am going to give it a very satisfied. I really like this a lot. I'm really not a stout or a porter. I have to quit saying I'm not a fan. They're not my go-tos, but I've definitely, through the years of recording and doing Hora de la Cervecita, have grown to appreciate them and really like some of them. So I would not have picked this off the shelf, but would I buy it again if I saw it? 100%. So 5 out of 5 for me.
Well, this is Sarah, and I'm going to say Super Saiyan, guys. I was super shocked. Like I said, I'm not a fan of the can art, and although the can art is not very nice to me or appealing, the beer itself is such a great tasting beer. All the flavor notes are amazing. They're hitting just the right spot. I'm really liking it, and I feel that you could even add like coffee to it and make it like one of those beer cocktails. So that's why I'm saying Super Saiyan. What about you, Jen?
I'm going to give it a very satisfied as well. I don't know. Talking so much about the sticky monkey made me remember just how delicious it was. And not to say that this isn't delicious. It's very delicious. I'm giving it a 5 out of 5.
Yeah.
I'm very satisfied with it. Is it like blowing me out of the water amazing Super Saiyan? Not necessarily, but it is really good. If I saw this, I would actively buy it. And would recommend it to other people. It does taste very holiday, like the toffee, the pecan. I think it's very, very obvious in this. It has that kind of like, oh, like almost like See's candy kind of taste to it.
Toffee is one of my favorite See's candies, so that's so accurate.
And I'm knocking it out of the park with descriptions as always. But yeah, I enjoy it. So 5 out of 5 from me.
Yeah, for me, I think I gave it that Super Saiyan is because I went into this with lowered expectations. So for it to just slap me in the face.
Yeah. And
yeah.
Bam, you're really wrong.
It did it for me.
Valid. I respect
and it. That has been our beer review. All right, guys, now it's time for our book review. What are we reviewing today?
Today, we are reviewing Yaki Delgado Wants to Kick Your Ass.
The graphic novel. which is very important to discern because this is an adaptation of the Pura Belpre Award winning novel by Meg Medina, who has been designated as the National Ambassador for Young People's Literature for the 2023-24 year. So I think that's amazing. Makes me want to actually read the novel after reading this graphic novel. But the description in the back basically says it's the beginning of sophomore year and Piedad Pity Sanchez is having a hard time adjusting to her new school. Things don't get any easier when Pity learns that Yaki Delgado hates her and wants to kick her ass. Pity doesn't even know who Yaki is, never mind what she's done to piss her off. But Yaki isn't kidding around, so Pity better watch her back. At first, Pity is more concerned with learning about the father she's never met, navigating her rocky relationship with her mom, and staying in touch with her best friend, Mitzi. But when the harassment escalates, avoiding Yaki and her gang takes over Pity's life. Is there a way for Pity to survive without closing herself off from those who care about her? And like I mentioned, this is adapting the award-winning story by Meg Medina. And Mel Valentin Vargas has created a boldly illustrated graphic novel about learning what you stand for and when to take a stand. So that is what we are reading today, or what we read today.
Yeah.
Yes. I'd like to also add that Mel Valentin Vargas identifies as they, them. And I'm just going to go right into it. This is Sarah, had so many feelings about this graphic novel, making me want to actually read the actual novel. Mm-hmm. This just,
yeah, same.
So close to home. It was like I was reading my own story, like almost word for word in some cases. Like it was just, I was bullied a lot in school. I don't know if it's because I'm weird and sometimes say the first thing that comes out of in my head and just say it and then I'm weird, or if it's because I'm short, or I don't know. But it just, and even the part where she was kind of like called out for like moving her ass too much,
yeah,
like quien se cree esa, quien se cree. For me, it wasn't moving my ass, it was just my ass was big and I was relentlessly like slapped in my butt at school. There was an overpass that when we were running up the overpass to our classes, guys would just like grab my butt. I started wearing like big, huge sweaters or shirts to cover my ass. I had no idea it was so big and it just was like a big eye-catching thing. And I just came really aware of it, that it was like my trigger. Like anybody said anything about my ass, anybody mentioned it or whatever, I just would completely go into like shut up, don't talk about it. You know, I would get mad. It was just like totally horrible. Anyway, it was just, and then the relationship with her mom, damn, that hit so hard for me. You know, it's so crazy because, like, I know moms mean well, they do, but sometimes it feels that the mom's isolation and comment, the mom's comments and her harsh criticism on her daughter and how she's trying to find out what's going on with her, with pity, she doesn't go about it the right way, in a sense that she's kind of like always kind of like condemning her, or, you know, oh, you're out with some guy, you know, kind of thing. And instead of being, it almost is isolating. That the kind of commentary that she had towards her daughter's behavior was really isolating for Pity. And I felt so bad for Pity. What did you guys think?
As I was reading it, there were certain points where, like, I wanted to cry.
Yes.
Because I mean, being Latina and then, like, bullying and stuff like that, most of the bullying for me happened in middle school. That's why I hated middle school. And to some extent, I still do. Whenever I think about that time, and I was just like, the ages from 10 to 13 are absolutely the worst. Like, it's like it was still bad overall, like being like the awkward teen years and stuff like that. But specifically 11 through 13 are awful. And so while I was reading this, it was honestly, I got bullied a lot for being like smart and the teacher's pet. So a lot of it was just like, damn, I was like, I can't help it if I want to learn. It's not my fault. You bitches are stupid. And I said that once out loud, and oh my God,
that is so cool. You're my hero.
No, I know that got my ass kicked. That's what that did. I got my ass kicked, and then I learned that I should keep my mouth shut. Hey, there's some people who be saying shit that sometimes they need that hard-earned lesson. Sometimes you need the ass kicking. Not to say that it was justified, of course, because I had lashed out because I kept being picked on, and then I got beat up for it. But I'm surprised I did not know this book existed. But then I realized that when it said, as I was reading the opening that they had that was from the original author, Meg Medina, and how she wrote this 10 years ago now, mm-hmm. which was, when I think about it, 2013. I was already out of high school. I was in college, baby. She was hoeing it up. She was learning who she was. So, no, I'm talking about me. Yeah, so I was like, I was just like, oh, okay, I had already fallen out of the target audience for that, but man, would I have loved to have had that book when I was like about Yaki's age as well, because it's hard being like a Latina, and especially in, like, I was able to. Like, I know I wasn't, like, bullied as much as Yaki was. I never got that bad. But there were definitely, like, some where it was, like, if a girl was too pretty, she got torn down. If she wasn't pretty enough, she was torn down. If she didn't have a boyfriend, she was also torn down. If she had too many boyfriends, she was also torn down. It's such a, like, you can never do right. You can never do right to your peers. You can never do right to your mother. And you can never do right by your, like, the teachers or the, like, faculty and stuff like that. You could never be perfect enough, good enough, ho enough, but pure enough. Like, it's awful. And just, like, reading it, I was just like, god damn. How's any girl supposed to come out with any kind of self-esteem or self-worth after being put through the ringer like that? Like, it's possible, yeah. But shit, I'm still working on it. And it's like, it's, there was a line in here. That Yaki said,
you mean Pity?
She's gonna leave me with scars that are gonna be on with me for the rest of my life.
Yep.
And that's mm-hmm. true. And I was talking with one of my coworker friends, and I told them, whoever said sticks and stones may break my words, but words will never hurt me. No, words will scar you for life. that's what they'll do. Whether it's, and like, yeah, you can get beaten up, but you can get better. But what people say to you, that leaves a mess behind.
Yeah.
And that's why whenever I like talk to people who are younger than me, or when I would talk with like my siblings and stuff like that, always like, or even myself now that I try that I'm older and this prefrontal cortex has finally been 100% uploaded and formed up, like, control what you say, because your words do matter.
Mm-hmm.
People listen to them. People hear them. Like, what are you saying? And is it something that you would like to be said of you? That's always how I try to navigate the world. And I, as I was reading it, I was just like, goddamn, I would have loved this book when I was a teenager, because it would have felt nice to be seen.
Absolutely agree. Did you guys feel, it says Yaki Delgado wants to kick your ass. Did you guys feel that Yaki was really meant to be Jackie, but because they're Latinos, they called her Yaki, like how it sounds in Spanish?
Yeah.
Yes.
I thought that was such a cute little touch. I was like, when I saw Yaki, I was like, oh, this is about the Yaki Indians. But no. I mean, Yaki Native Americans. I'm so sorry. Please scratch that. I didn't mean, I was just in the moment. I apologize. You know, it's really interesting. I mean, this book is just such, it's just full of so many gifts. Pity has a strong unit behind her, but she feels so isolated because there are so many things coming at her and her age. She's 15 years old. She changed to new school. She has to get new friends. And then all of a sudden, Darlene, a girl in her class that she doesn't really even know yet, she says, oh, Yaki wants to kick your ass. Yaki Delgado doesn't like you. And it's like she constantly tells her this. And I'm just like, dude, stop. Like, it feels so wrong for you to keep doing this to this girl. But I mean, I guess it was a warning, or I don't know. I guess she was just like a chismosa. I don't know. But I remember when I was in junior high, I had a Yaki Delgado in my life. And yes, it's true. Like, I was going to classes and I'd be like, you know, studying or talking to somebody in class, and they're like, oh, did you know that AS hates you? And then I'd go to another class. Oh, AS doesn't like you. Oh, AS, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, I don't give an F. But it started to wear on me because I kept hearing it from different people all over school. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, being very insecure, and I'm still trying to figure out my body and whether I like it or not. And I'm still figuring out what kind of music I like and all this stuff. And people are telling me this girl hates me and dislikes me and blah, blah, blah. And it just... there came a point where I actually crossed her in the hallway, and she did a sign of the cross when she passed me. And that bothered me. Like, why would you do that? That's so disrespectful. Like, but I wasn't the woman I am now that would be like, turn around and say, what the fuck does that mean, bitch? Mm-hmm. Come at me. You know, like, now I could do that.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm an event right now, but I actually ran into her at a club when I was in my 20s. And she told a girl that I knew at the club, she said, don't talk to her, she's a bitch. And I turned around, and I said, who's she calling a bitch? And then, you know, my ghetto came out. And I'm like, oh, it's you? Man, fuck you. We're not in school anymore. I'll fucking kick your ass right now. Come outside and I'm going to kick your ass right now. I'm going to fuck you up. I'm tired of this shit. We're not in high school anymore. We're fucking adults, and I'm going to fuck you up, motherfucker. And, you know, I got ghetto.
Trigger warning at the beginning of this episode.
And then she started to, like, hide behind her boyfriend. And I said, no, let her go. Let her go. Let her go. I'm ready for her. Mm-hmm. You know, she thinks she can bully me out of school. I took it from you in high school, but I'm not going to do it anymore. Let's do it. And then my friend was like, don't kick her ass. She's my friend. And I was like, you know, out of respect for you, I'm not going to kick her ass. But if I ever see you again, ever, I'm not even going to warn you. I'm just going to beat you down. So you better wish I never see you again. And if you see me, you better hide.
Damn, Sarah.
Yeah.
That's badass.
But I was in my 20s already. Like, she had already did the damage, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Not only that, like, for her to say that.
3 years. 3 years.
Yeah.
For her to say that, like, yo, like, let the past go. Like, there's certain people that I won't talk to in high school. As a matter of fact, most of the people that I knew in high school, aside from my best friend and, like, some other friends, I would prefer never ever talking to them. Because once, if you saw me at 15, no, you didn't.
Yeah,
but that's like, that's different from like, I'm not gonna like talk shit about them, you get me? Like, because like, yeah, we're grown adults now, like, yeah, we've changed, we've evolved, we've grown, we're in different phases of our lives. The me that I am now is not the same me that I was when I was 15.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like, and thank God for that.
Oh, but yeah. Amen. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Mm-hmm. But it's such a, like, yeah, like, yes, it matters, but also, like, it doesn't matter. Because it'll matter how, like, you yourself, like, distance some of them, but then also, like, come on. Be an adult.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Mm-mm-mm.
She deserves that beatdown.
I'm, you know what? I don't look for her, but if I do find her, like I said, I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to take that L.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to take that L, go to the police. You know, go in handcuffs. It's cool. I'm ready.
Oh, my gosh.
Just be like, hey. I stood by my words.
If we're both fat, I'm going to bite the fat, just so you know. So we have rented. Dude, I'm fucking ready to bite an ear off. Come on, let's go. So Jen and I, Sarah, have really seen ourselves in this graphic novel adaptation. What about you, Kristen?
So I grew into my resting bitch face pretty young in life. And so I never got bullied because people were afraid of me. People were afraid that I was going to beat them up. And so I never worried about that. I try to look back and think, did I have a bully? I can't remember one. And I can't remember, like, I bullied myself, I think, most of all, just like all of us young adolescent and pre-adolescent girls do. You know, when I look at my body in pictures of being a elementary or even junior high, like, there was nothing wrong with me, but I criticized myself so hard and was so worried about, you know, a little fat there or the way my hair was or whatever. But where I really identified in with this book was I've worked with teens in my professional career for about 20 years, and a lot of I've been the Lila to a lot of teenage girls. In this book, Lila is her word, like her mom's best friend. And she trusts her and she goes to her for help and support. And she is a little bit more open with Lila because she doesn't feel as judged by her as she does her mom. And so I really identified with that part of the book, with that relationship. And I've heard stories like Pitty's from girls who are being bullied or who had gotten beaten up and were afraid to go to school because they didn't want it to happen again. And oh my God, the social media aspect of poor Pitty's beatdown, where it actually was recorded and uploaded, and Yaki ripped her shirt off, and so she was topless on the internet, and so that started a whole nother issue where Pitty didn't want to go to school and she was humiliated, embarrassed, and afraid. And I don't know that if this was intentional by Meg, the writer, or by Mel, the person who adapted it. But I also really didn't identify with, but empathize with Yaki. Because as most of you who have listened for a while know, I worked with girls involved in the juvenile justice system for quite some time. And exactly Yaki's behavior is exactly a lot of the behavior that I saw. And I know that that behavior is learned behavior. I know that the principal actually mentions in the book that there were no parents to come and be in a meeting or to come pick her up. She couldn't be on in-home suspension because there was just no support there. And so you kind of, it was hinted at, but I mean, there was a lot there to unpack. So that was just, it really makes me want to read the book to see if maybe they delve into that a little bit more. Then we have domestic violence. Pity's not real boyfriend, but like, you know, first kiss and all that, has a situation at home with his parents where the dad is abusive, physically abusive to the mom. And
Joey Halper.
And so it's brought up multiple times by multiple characters in the book that they're always yelling, they're always fighting, it's too loud. And then there's a situation where actually the mom is taken away in an ambulance. So there's so much going on in this book. And then to top it all off, Pity is learning the true story of her parents' relationship. And there is some chisme going on there. There's like full on telenovela stuff going on with that relationship. And so there was just so much in this book, but I really appreciated how realistic the teen angst and the teen experience. It really resonated as very pure and just honest and very true. And so I just, like both of you, am just enthralled with I'm really interested in reading the story in a more deeper way in the novel. And who knows, like I would like to kind of compare the two, like maybe we got the whole story here and that's amazing, but I really enjoyed it a lot, so much so that I want to read the original source material.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's an amazing, in the way that Mel adapted it, they did such an amazing job. They did such an amazing job with the art and how, like, everyone looks like a teenager mm-hmm. on here. And I think I appreciate that a lot because there's many times where they try to make them look more adult, but it also looks like more modern contemporary fashion so that it can kind of fit like a new audience, because 10 years ago the fashion of 20 like of the 2012 2013 era is different from the fashion that of right now, especially yeah. for like teenagers and stuff like that. And it's funny how things like that kind of do matter because they help resonate with, you know, like with whoever is reading them. I also really oh god, there was a specific scene where Pity is trying to talk with her mother, and she says, there's no talking with you, there's only listening. Oh my god. I don't know what it is about Latinas and their relationships with their mother, but oh my god, is it such a such a heavy thing. It's good and it's bad and it's awful, but it's amazing and it's beautiful, but it's also ugly. Like, everything about it, I was just so like, oh my god. Cause you could, like, Pity was doing, like, everything that a good kid should have been doing, but she still, like, it wasn't good enough for her mother. And when it started to go down, suddenly it was her fault. Because she wasn't trying hard enough. Mm-hmm. And it's like, just, we knew what was going on as the readers, but she didn't. But at the same time, I wanted to like be like her mom. Okay, why is this happening? Because I know whenever I got like a bad grade, my mom was just like, what's going on? This isn't like the child that I know. You need to pray. You need to, and I'm just so like, What if I was having a bad day? What if I was like sick, or what if, or what was most likely happening? I was going through one of my depression phases, but I didn't know what it was. And instead I was just sad and miserable and felt so alone and pathetic. And then here you are saying like, what's wrong with you? Like, damn, can a girl have a moment? Like, but yeah, I really did. Her relationship with her mom, I feel it's like something that we have all experienced, especially as Latinas, that specific type of care, but antagonistic care. Like, yeah, it's, I don't know. That's the scenes with her mom always were the ones that made me want to cry. I was just like, yeah, we'll fix that one day.
100%. Like, you know, what's wrong with you? Why can't you be normal? You know, like, I know they're at their end of the rope for them to say that, because my mom said that. Why can't you be normal? I don't know. And she, I think there was a part where she's like, what's wrong with you? She's like, I don't know. Like, yeah, something in the, and I was like, man, that feels like an argument I had with my mom. Like, it's weird. I know it's difficult. And you know what the weird thing is? Like, I had all these moments that Pity's having with her mom here, like most of them. I mean, I wasn't a good student. I'm not going to argue about that, because I wasn't. I was really average. But the fact that towards the end of the story, we get like a kind of a new understanding between them, where they sit together and they talk about things and stuff like that. When I finally just kind of just was really defeated, and I was feeling like really heartbroken over a guy, which is stupid. But when I finally told my mom what I was feeling, she embraced me, and she, oh God, oh, waterworks. She embraced me and understood me. And she held all of the criticism and all that. Sorry about that, guys. I guess there was some internet problem, but it looks like it's still recording. But anyway, what I was saying is that Mel's use of only three colors, basically the color scheme is blues, whites, black to gray. And that was the only color scheme they used. And it's just amazing the way they had so much feeling and expression in all the characters, and how they told a very profound story. So I'm just like in awe. I think, do you guys want to say anything else about the story?
No, I don't think so. Definitely just think that it was amazing. And I think you guys have all covered how it has done such a great job resonating with us all in different ways. And for a book to be able to do that with somebody, with three women who've had such different experiences, but also similar, I think is a really amazing thing.
Awesome. So I think we're ready to rate it. So what is our rating scale, Kristen?
So our rating scale is on a scale of 1 to 3 conchas, where 3 conchas is the most conchas that Jen's mom ever let her eat in one sitting. So, of course, that was the best. And if we have a book that is off the rating scale charts, then we can give it the whole panadería. So I'll go ahead and get started, and I'm definitely giving Yaki Delgado Wants to Kick Your Ass the whole panadería. I really enjoyed it. Honestly, when I read it the first time, as soon as I finished, I was like, I want to reread it and kind of, you know, make sure that I pick up all the nuances of all the different parts of all the different storylines that are happening in this book. So when a book does that for a reader, I think that's amazing. So the whole panadería for me.
This is Sarah, and I'm going to also give it the whole panadería in a glass of a cup of champurrado. It was such an amazing book. It made me feel so many things and made me revisit some old ghosts. And it's just, the art was so amazing. I just really loved it. I would love to give this book to someone to read if they're being bullied, or even if they're not. I think it's really helpful and educative. So that's why I'm going to give it the whole panadería and a cup of champurrado. What about you, Jen?
I am also going to give it the entire panaderia and a cup of champurrado, because it really resonated with me as well. I enjoyed reading it, in that it's definitely, like, I think especially if you were bullied or if you were, like, definitely a Latina or identify with that experience, that you'll definitely like also enjoy reading it. But it was kind of tough reading it as well, because it's so I don't even think relatable is a word. It's just so visible and so visceral, mm-hmm. as well. So tres conchas and a cup of champurrado for me.
Awesome. That has been our book review. All right, guys, now it's time for En La Librería. What is on your En La Librería, Jen?
So today in my librería is Back Then, a very different queer comic anthology, a comic book about queer people born over 50 years ago. So this is being made by Lucas Maher, who's from Berlin, Germany. Moon Comics is the first comic book publisher in Germany to focus entirely on queer topics. The publishing house was founded by Lucas Maher. I'm so sure I'm saying his name wrong, and I'm so sorry. This comic creator gained popularity with the superhero series Power Bear. The third issue of Power Bear will appear soon under the umbrella of Moon Comics. Moon Comics are stories with heart. Their main characters will always be queer people, but our comics are dedicated to all readers, regardless of skin color, nationality, and beliefs. So here's the synopsis that they have on their Kickstarter page. Our book is based on interviews with 11 people who were born over 50 years ago. They tell amazing stories from their childhood and youth. Is this German? Yeah. So it's a book. It's going to be in English and DE. What is that? What's the abbreviation of that for?
DE? I don't know.
Deutsch? Denmark?
No, the language. So English and Dutch? Deutsch? No, I know. I have no idea.
I'll Google it, see what I find. Yes. Keep talking.
But yes, but it is also in another language. This project is extremely important. The characters of our books are not superheroes, but their stories can help change the world. Before starting to create the comic book, we conducted a number of interviews with fascinating people. We carefully created storyboards to respect the story they told. Preparations for drawing took months. Some stories are funny, others are disturbing and shocking, but what they all have in common is that they are true and inspiring. The aim of this book is to fight against ageism and reduce the generation gap. I hope you will help us bring these stories to life. We believe that representation matters, and through this anthology, we hope to provide a platform for queer voices that are often overlooked in mainstream media. This comic book will be released in German and English. Yes. Our goal is to produce a book of a very good quality. And then they give us, throughout this whole thing, they have previews of the comics that are going to be out, the authors and the artists that are going to be featured. The project is co-created by 14 artists from Berlin and Germany, and each person has their own unique style. The book will be a feast for the eyes. The book will be printed in a 6.69 by 9.44 format. It's going to be a soft cover, over 80 pages on nice paper. There will be a microfoil on the cover, and which will add shine and highlight the colors. And then they give a preview about the size it will look like. It is going to be cover art by Zora Sartig. And then they give us a little introduction to all of the creators who are going to be featured in it as well. And it looks like an amazing book, and it looks like all the things that have already been done for it. It just needs to be, like, printed and published. And they are, like they said, an actual, like, Lucas Mesher actually has, like, an actual comic book publishing company in Germany. So definitely go check it out. It currently you can, well, you can always pledge without expecting an award. You just want to support. But the base pledge starts at about 10 euros, which is about $11. And this is for the PDF copy of the book. And then at the next phase is 25 euros, which is about $28. And that's going to be the physical copy of the book. And then for 25 euros or $28, you get your copy in Berlin. So if you live in Berlin or you come here often, or if you go there often, you can pick up the book in person. And then at 35 euros or $39, you get the physical copy and the PDF. And then it keeps on going up from there, with different rewards and different backings. So you can get those copies of Power Bear if you're interested in it. So currently it has a goal of $3,045 and it's currently at $2,511 with 61 backers and 37 days to go. It looks amazing. It definitely, I think it is, it's something that at least I have been aware of, and I know the people who or the queer people my age are aware of how just there is a certain, I don't want to say cutoff, but it's kind of the only word that I can think of right now, of and a certain cutoff of age of queer people, but that's because of the AIDS epidemic. I don't think the current generation realizes just how devastating the AIDS epidemic was, and just how many people actually died from it. Because to them, the queer movement to them feels like so in the now and like, oh no, it only just started recently, when that is not the truth. The reason that we have any rights or even any acknowledgement is due to all the people who are fighting before the AIDS epidemic hit and before then when it was like, it's still dangerous to be queer in some parts of the States and in definitely other parts of the world as well. But back when, in a time where it wasn't even like, you wouldn't even say it, because even being accused of it would either get you ostracized or killed. And that a lot of that generation is gone. And the ones who have survived, it's important to hear their stories before they too are gone. So definitely, definitely check it out, especially since it's going to be from people who are outside of the US, and how just like queer people have always existed in every part of the world, in every part of society. And I think this is a very like cool concept, as well as something that's really, really important to kind of see and open up to other queer experiences besides, you know, our own here in the US.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, talking about that, there are so many movies out there, and then people can't wrap their head around like the struggle that they went through. It's just this is a very important Kickstarter, I think, for people to be out there and learn more about this from first-handed people. So thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Definitely. So it is Back Then, A Very Different Queer Comic Anthology on Kickstarter.
All right, everybody, it's now time for Juntos y Fuertes. Kristen, what do you have for us today?
So in our segment, Juntos y Fuertes, we highlight projects or other people who are parts of marginalized communities that are that have projects that are amazing and that we think need to be highlighted. And today I'm highlighting another Latina-led podcast. It's called Latina to Latina, and it's an interview series hosted by Alicia Menendez, where they talk to remarkable Latinas about making it, faking it, and everything in between. So in this often hilarious and always revealing podcast, Alicia Menendez and her guests take on the challenges of existing and then thriving as Latinas. They talk about everything from growing their companies and careers while caring for their families to breaking down the systems that keep many of us out. Through the laughter and sometimes tears, These intimate conversations feel like we're listening to and learning from our most trusted friend. Latina owned, produced, and made with love. You can go to latinatolatina.com to find out where you can listen to the podcast, or you can listen to it right there from that website. And there are many different episodes, and the way that this came across my radar this week was that the creator and writer Meg Medina of Yaki Delgado Wants to Kick Your Ass was a guest on one of the episodes. So if you're interested in learning more about Meg, you can find that episode on latinatolatina.com.
Well, that's really cool. I'm so glad there are more Latina-led podcasts out there. Thank you so much for sharing that, Kristen. All right, guys, now it's time for saludos. And saludos goes out today to a Kickstarter that is yet to be. It will be inaugurated. It will start. It will begin. It will become active February the 6th. It's called Dead Stop Tour of Terror. It is a campaign that is by 656 Comics. And it's 656 Comics is a... I would have to say they're a comics collective that we actually met some of the members at the Latinx Comics Arts Festival some years back. They started off in Ciudad Juarez. Like I said, they're a comic collective and they've been around for 20 years. They're notifying of their launch of this Kickstarter for Dead Stop Tour of Terror, which is a 100+ page horror comics. So if you want to get notified about when this Kickstarter goes off, you should go to Kickstarter and to have them notify you of the launch date. To follow 656 Comics, they have so many wonderful comics available, and you can follow them at on Instagram at 656 Comics. C-O-M-I-C-S Comics, that's plural, 656 Comics. And they were such a delight to meet at that Latinx Comics Art Festival. So we hope that this Kickstarter is fully funded with all their all the stuff that they need to actually make this happen. So saludos goes out to 656 Comics. All right, guys, that brings us to the end of this episode. Where can they find us, girls?
They can find us at our very own website, comadrescomics.com, where you can find links to all of our social media, links to our podcast, and also information about our ancillary series, Las Pláticas, which is our YouTube series where you can actually see us interviewing amazing creators and talking about their projects.
Absolutely, guys. And also, if you find yourself in the Modesto area, we will be participating in the Latinx Comics Arts Festival in March. More news on that in the future. So please follow us on Instagram. Make sure you get all that info. And thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate you. We have been your hosts. I'm Sarah.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Jen.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.
And that's on Period Network.